This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury with
Christine Wong.
Arvinia Varaj.
caught you. We're going to be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. We started off the show today with how a new digital divide has been born in Japan. A growing number of students have never laid their hands on a personal computer, and so they don't know how to use a keyboard. Interesting. So do you know anybody like this? And we posed this question on our Insta story. I've had some funny ones, actually. Aaron's Daedrinson has said, "Totally my mum." As if using one finger in typing wasn't slow enough, perfect spelling and grammar is a commandment. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Olivia has said, "Nobody in particular, but I've seen toddlers trying to touch or swipe screens like it's second nature." We've already said that before. Moving on, we've got Shang Ho has said, "My cousin prefers to type his assignments on his phone rather than use a PC." That would drive me crazy.
That sounds like the most uncomfortable thing that I could ever think of ever.
But anyway, you know, some people are doing it, clearly.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
No, I mean, because now you have like Google Docs and Google Spreadsheets and stuff synced up to your phone. So if you want to edit it, you know, on your commute or in the train or whatever, then you know, you could still do it.
I mean, technically. On the commute to work every morning when we have our shared document or we put our story, I'm checking the stories in there, and even I struggle then. I'm like, why is it on this phone? I wish I had my laptop here.
Yeah,
You know, I couldn't do it. Anyway.
My thumbs feel tired just thinking about that.
Get in touch. Let us know. Do you know anybody like this? Do you know somebody who suffers from keyboard anxiety who can't use a keyboard? Get us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899, on Twitter and on InstaStory at BFM Radio. Story number two, reforming teenage cyber criminals.
Yeah. So going from people who don't know how to use a computer or a keyboard to people who maybe know too well, this is a UK program that's offering young cyber criminals an alternative to detention and hopes to turn them into legit tech professionals. These teens, whose ages range from between 14 and 19, took a wrong turn somewhere on the internet and blundered into muddy water. So So some of them were caught by the police. Others got caught hacking to their high school networks. After receiving cease and desist letters, they were given a choice between a black mark against their name or spending their Saturdays doing the cybercrime intervention workshop.
They could be teaching people in Japan how to type.
They could be, to be fair. But that's sort of not quite the point. So what the Cybercrime Intervention Workshop is essentially it's a rehab program for young hackers. It's one of around five pilot sessions that have taken place across the UK since late 2017. And it's designed for teenagers who show exceptional technical talent but poor judgment. The workshops seek to reroute them, showing that they have options and high earning capabilities and are wanted and needed by society. So Debbie Tunstall, who's the head of education programming at Cybersecurity Challenge, which runs the program in partnership with the UK's National Crime Agency, says that we didn't want a whole generation of people to be criminalized, as a lot of the time they don't realize they're doing something wrong until it's a little bit too late.
Huh?
Yeah, because the way that this works is that a lot of these kids, and they tend to be boys, really interestingly, tend to actually find a gaming as a sort of gateway into getting into cybercrime. So, for example, they'll realize they'll have an aptitude for understanding modding, for example, and cheating in video games. And then from there, they'll start to engage in forums where they learn more and more skills. And then from there, they'll start to experiment with how far they can test those limits. So they might not necessarily be aware of the level of severity that of their actions, essentially. But there is another benefit. By identifying these individuals, the UK is hoping to build up a workforce that's more proficient in technology, as there will be, according to a report by Cybersecurity Ventures, 3.5 million unfilled cybersecurity jobs globally in 2021. So what better way to fill that dearth with people who have broken the system already, essentially? So the question is how to get these skilled teens to fill those jobs without them having to take a side trip through the criminal justice system. Now, interestingly enough, you know, these boys, are offenders who don't fit the traditional criminal mold. So, you know, as I said, they tend to not, you know, have an understanding of exactly how legal their actions were or weren't. But also, in the UK, the way the criminal justice system is set up is that there are two things prosecutors need in order to secure conviction. There's evidence, and then there's proof that there was intent to commit a crime. For most criminals, the intent part is very straightforward. Evidence is less so. But with teenage hackers, they'll just shove evidence at you. But there's not really a clear intent because a lot of the time, again, they didn't know necessarily or weren't aware that they were doing something that was constituted as illegal. So when they go to these workshops, you know, they will actually learn the intricacies of the UK's Computer Misuse Act, including the consequences. They'll learn that punishment for offences against that law can range from 6 months to life in prison. They're told cautionary tales. They are told that there are victims to their crimes, even if they can't see them. So if they commit further offences in future, they won't be able to plead ignorance anymore.
Right.
Yeah. So it is still kind of laying down the law. However, some people are still a little bit hesitant about this program because fact of the matter is, regardless of their age or whether or not they knew, but these people still committed crimes. So this nice route might irk people who take a more hardline approach to criminal justice or the people who have been the victims of these crimes as well.
People saying that, you know, that the punishment doesn't suit the crime.
Yes, precisely. Mm. So it's an interesting, it's an interesting kind of idea. And I personally think it's a great idea. You know, I'm always a fan of being able to rehabilitate people in a productive way rather than just tell them that they've done something wrong and then punish them for it, because that's just kind of perpetuating a cycle in my head. And what I find interesting about this as well is that it's a mixture of public and private money that's supporting this program. So it really is something that, you know, is not just reliant on the government or whatnot. And also there's a thought from, you know, the people who run this program that maybe the gaming industry itself should step in and do more, maybe to warn people when they're breaking the law and potentially even as a sponsor for these rehabilitation sessions.
You know how you know when tech companies rule the world? When stuff like this happens. Because this will never happen in like any other industry. You won't have a person who's like a master at breaking into places or like robbing banks.
Become a locksmith.
You know, no one's going to give them like a boot camp and say, okay, since you're super good at breaking into places, we'll put you into a boot camp so that you can join like a detective agency or become a spy for the government or something. It never happens. But because there's such a shortage in the tech industry, and then they need hackers. Like even people who develop antivirus systems need hackers to tell them
what's broken,
like how they're going to break into their system. So it's super interesting. And it's nice that they're taking their skill set, because obviously they are skilled at what they do, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they are using that for something, hopefully something good.
I mean, that raises a bigger question, and I'm sure there are people at home listening now who are saying, you know, well, a tiger can't change its stripes, and once you're a criminal, you're forever a criminal, you know. But I think the kind of idea behind this is that they're getting these boys and girls, I'd assume, at a young enough age to be able to kind of hopefully, you know, rehabilitate them before they go into something a little bit more serious. Perhaps.
And the fact of the matter is, again, you know, a lot of these people don't know that what they're doing is considered illegal. I mean, for example, way back when everyone was using LimeWire and stuff like that, right? You know, there was a kind of fuzzy sort of idea that like, oh, well, like it's just one song or whatever. So, you know, it's one of those kind of things where sometimes it is difficult for kids to understand where the line is because they don't know for sure. And
they're so used to it being the norm.
Yeah. And then if they have people in forums saying like, oh, you can do this, right, then it's a bit difficult to actually determine whether or not you should or not.
Good story.
I would actually stick with the tiger comparison, because I don't think they're trying to change them from... It's like they're looking at a tiger and going, you still be a tiger, we're just telling you who to hunt.
Good point.
Yeah,
you know
nice.
What I mean?
Yeah.
They're not trying to change their method of thinking at all.
Good way of putting it.
Yeah.
That's why he's on the show, you see. Right, time to take a short break. We've got some music coming up right now from the Blue Oyster Cult with Stairway to the Stars. Don't forget, we are asking you a question. We're talking about how a new digital divide has been born in Japan. A growing number of students have never laid their hands on a personal computer and therefore don't know how to use a keyboard and cannot type. Do you know anybody like this? Do you know people who suffer from keyboard anxiety or anything like that? Let us know. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Arvin is getting a little bit edgy because he's not managed to speak to anybody on WhatsApp yet. Mm-hmm. Also, get us on Twitter or Insta Story at BFM Radio. Music coming right up here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.